You know, I was asking the Lord, what do you want me to give to the people? And the Lord started laying it on my heart to start giving you something that is a very powerful tool that is lost in the circuit of Christianity today. And that is on the understanding of fasting. Fasting is a true key to the breakthrough you've been looking for. And as I was searching the scriptures to put this together, I came to find that fasting is actually bled all through the scriptures. It's everywhere. But how many of you realize that fasting is not really, God didn't give fasting as a heavenly tool to the unsaved? When they supposedly tongue-in-cheek fast, they are not fasting as unto the Lord. They're dieting. They're going into a diet because they want to lose weight, to look good, to be attractive, more attractive. Or maybe they're losing weight for health issues, whatever. But that's not a fast. And also, the word fast could be used for the medical field. If you're going to go take tests or you're going to have an operation, they'll tell you you have to fast. But again, that's not the fast that God is intending for the saints of God. The fast that God has intended is an absolute that you have to do if you are coming face to face with a problem that is so magnificent you don't know what to do about it. Then we are, as a church, as the saints of God, we are to fast. And fast doesn't mean, okay, I have a problem today, so you're going to do it like a religious individual. Next Tuesday at 5:00, I'm going to fast. That's not what God intends. God intends if you have a problem today, get on your face today and fast before Him. And then you are going to see only at times through fasting together and praying together will you receive a breakthrough. How many of you are looking for a breakthrough? How many of you have been praying for something for a very long time and the result hasn't so far shown up? Well, you're going to find and discover. Now, I'm going to give you in this, I'm going to call it a treaching, because He gave it to me more like a teaching, preaching. And I know that I'll get carried away and I'll start preaching, but I'm going to try to get it reserved enough for you to understand it. I want you to have a pencil or a paper or something to write on. Use the back of your bulletin. And when you take it home, you can re-manuscript it on a piece of paper. You need to hold on to it, because I'm going to be giving you four prescriptions that have to do with fasting. And if you will apply it, it is going to knock your socks off as to see the breakthrough you've been praying for. Amen? So we start out in Matthew chapter 17, starting with verse 21. There you find that Jesus begins to notify us about fasting. And He says, this mountain can only be removed. This circumstance can only be overcome, or this tragedy can only be reversed. And then He goes on and He says, by what? Prayer and fasting. Now, we know a whole lot about prayer. We know that prayer is the communication line whereas we can talk to God the Father and to the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore He can communicate back with us. Amen? But a lot of stuff is not ever said about fasting, but if you notice, they go co-joined together. One cannot be done without the other when you have a difficulty that you find and discover that there's this problem, this burden that cannot be shaken. So fasting, Jesus is letting us know, it is absolutely priority. And it's such a powerful tool. Satan knew that it was so powerful that he actually got into the arsenal of God's Word and removed it. If you get into the NIV and you look up that same verse, you will come to find that that word fasting isn't there. It just says, this mountain shall be removed only by prayer, is what you find in the NIV. Now, what does it mean to pray in the fast? The first thing on the prescription for you to write down is simply this. You are never going to be able to go into a true fast until you prayed to God to put you into the fast. You can't do it without Him. Apart from Him, you can't do anything. You might be able to fast for a day. You might be able to fast for 2 days. But in order for you to see the breakthrough, you need to stay into the fast until you see that God comes through for you. And that only happens when you pray to him and pray that he himself will put you into a breakthrough. Now, why do we have to fast in which to get the attention of our Lord? Well, he tells us so in Matthew chapter 9, verse 15, because there you come to find the disciples of John come and approach Jesus, and they say to Jesus, because understand, John the Baptist had disciples, Jesus had disciples. The disciples of John come to Jesus and they say, why do we fast and yet your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said, can the friends of the bridegroom fast as long as the bridegroom is with them? Now understand, if you are a follower of Christ, Jesus is calling you a friend. That's a great title that he gives you. Remember what he said in John 15? He said, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant knows not his master's business. But now I call you friends, for all that has been made known unto me, I make known unto you. Amen? So he's saying, can the friends of the bridegroom fast as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the day will come when the bridegroom will be taken away, and then they will fast. Please recognize what he's saying here. When Jesus walked the earth, Jesus was physical. People that walked with him, that saw him, that related to him, saw him as a physical human being. They were able to touch him. They were able to put their arm around him. They were able to, at a distance, if they heard his voice, they recognized the reality of his voice and knew of who he was. Just like if I heard your voice at a distance around the bend, I'd know who you are that's coming. They recognized him by his voice. They could see the emotions on his face. They could even, as John the Beloved, put his head on his bosom and hear his heartbeat. And even they could smell the smells from him, because there was a physical relationship that they had with him. But Jesus Christ, when he gave up the ghost, and he overcame the sting of death and the victory of the grave, he arose into the heavens and sits at the right hand of the Father. So now you and I have no privilege to have a physical-to-physical relationship with him. So if we want to go and meet with him and have him involved in our circumstances, God the Father has given us this heavenly tool that is called fasting. Fasting is getting a hold of the heartstrings of Jesus Christ, getting a hold of his attention, and bringing him down in the circumstances that we are dealing with. Amen? So that's what the fasting is all about. Fasting is seen throughout the Bible. It is actually breaking through the divide, getting into heaven and touching a hold of God the Father, and letting God the Father and also the Son come and attend to our needs and give us the breakthrough. Amen? And fasting in the Old Testament, as well as in the New Testament, was a matter of fact. When people had burdens, when they had issues, when they had circumstances, when they had problems, they didn't hesitate. It was like part of breathing for them. They didn't have any reservation. They fasted and they prayed. They sought the Lord. And you will find it time and time and time again. As I repeat, it's been a lost art for most Christians who sit in churches all over the world. They pray and they pray and they pray, and they say, why is it God not responding? Because for certain things, there has been such a stronghold in your life that it's only going to be removed by prayer and fasting. Praying that God put you in a fast. There's other parts of the prescription that I'll share with you as we get into this message. But I want you to know that prayer and fasting absolutely works. God says it. He's not a man that he should lie. He will perform the reality of what he says he will do. He will come through for you. Amen? One of the examples that I found, and it's so wonderful, is in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. There you find the story of Jehoshaphat. I've shared this with you before. Jehoshaphat is coming against a very powerful enemy. There is a co-joining of two enemies, forces that are the Amorites, the Moabites, and they are outnumbering the army of Judah by 10 men to 1. So, I mean, it would have been a slaughter, to say the least. Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah, leading the military force against this mighty army that is, again, outnumbering the men of Judah by 10-1, and they are in the valley setting up their camp, setting up their plot, how they're going to try to overcome the members of Judah. And Jehoshaphat, he did not immediately say, with any kind of pride and arrogance in his heart, saying, let's go to war. You know what he did? He called for there to be a time. He called for all the men of the army of Judah for a time of prayer and fasting. And every man in that military force, including that of Jehoshaphat, they got on their face before God. Now, if you read that story, you will not find how long they prayed and fasted. But I can guarantee you it was longer than a day. I would guarantee you it's longer than 2 days or maybe even a week, because for you to fast and totally surrender over to God means that you are going to say no to any cravings of the flesh, that you are going to let the flesh die so that the spirit can come alive. Amen? And when God the Father found that it was so, as far as time goes, he begins to speak to Jehoshaphat and tells Jehoshaphat, this is my game plan. This is how I'm going to give you the victory that you need. I want you to go and I want you to take all of the men of military tactic out of the front of the line. I want you to take all the praisers, all the trumpet players, all the shofar players, put them in the front. All the praise and worshipers, put them in the front. And I want you to go down into that valley praising and worshiping. And I, the Lord God, am going to go ahead of you, and I am going to give you the victory. And so God did exactly what he said he would do. He went into the battle ahead of the army of Judah, and victory came, even though they were outnumbered, but they had a mighty God that superseded all the outnumbered men of the Amorites and the Moabites. God went in there and totally eradicated them. Amen? And God wants to do the same thing for whatever problem is trying to come into your life and overcome you as well. So what is fasting? Fasting is a deliberate abstinence. It is a deliberate abstinence from physical gratification, so that you can have spiritual insight. I'm going to say it again. Fasting is a deliberate abstinence from physical gratification so that you can receive spiritual insight. To put it in a nicer, easier way, fasting is saying no to the flesh so that you can hear yes from the Spirit. Fasting is not giving in to the cravings and desires of your fleshly who you are, in order to hear what God has to say because of who he is. Amen? So that's what fasting is. It's saying no, purposely saying no to the flesh, so that you can hear what the Spirit of the living God has to say regarding your circumstance. Turn with me, if you will, to Zechariah chapter 7. Look at verse 5 and 6. And these two verses are phenomenal verses given to us on the subject matter of fasting. It says here, say to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the 5th and 7th months during those 70 years, did you really fast for me? And God repeats, for me? Are you sure you fasted for me? But then he goes on and he says, when you eat and when you drink, do you not eat and drink for yourselves? Church, when you leave here today, just like me, you're going to go home. I'm prophesying this. And you're going to eat. You're going to eat. You always go home after church and you eat, whether you go out to eat at a restaurant, whether you go home and you eat a meal that's cooked for you at home. Maybe you go someone to somebody else's house and you're going to eat whatever they have cooked. But generally speaking, while you're sitting here and you're sitting here in the spiritual atmosphere where the Holy Spirit is here, your flesh is speaking to you. And it's saying, hungry, feed now, right? Because, see, your flesh is the dominant power and force over your life. That's the way we were brought up. And the flesh is talking to you. Last week, the flesh not only talked to you, but it told you what it craves. It has priority over your life. It might have told you last week, want steak. want T-bone steak with trimmings, mashed potatoes, French fries. Want it now. And you follow the, I'm making you hungry, huh? You follow the desirable cravings of what the flesh is saying to you. Today, it'll change. Last week, you fed it steak. You fed this outward body steak. The fuel, the energy, the strengthening that the body needs. Maybe today you're going to go home and say, and it's going to say, I want Italian, or I want Japanese, or I want Chinese. And you will follow the cravings of the flesh. You say, well, I'm a bigger man or a bigger woman than that. No, you're going to follow the cravings of the flesh. And when you eat, Zechariah is saying, well, that satisfies you. But when you say no to those cravings, that satisfies God. That satisfies God. So if you are giving way to the cravings of the flesh, that satisfies you. You're building up you, the outer man. But when you say no to the desires of the flesh, then that satisfies God. Now listen, we all have to eat, yes. But when you have a problem, when you have an issue, and you've been praying for days, months, weeks, years, whatever, and nothing's broke through, it's time to realize there must be more to the weaponry of what God has given me. Nothing's working, and that's where fasting comes in. If you have to have a determinant in your heart to say, I need a breakthrough. And so I am not going to give in to the flesh. I am not going to give in to the cravings of the flesh, because I want God to stampede in my life and set me free from the harness that has held me in bondage. And so when you come to that place and you say no to the flesh and yes to the Spirit, watch what God can do that you can't do. I'm going to take you into a little memory lane with me. Many, many years ago, when our three oldest children were teenagers, had you come to me and wanted to buy one, I would have sold you one and given you the other one for free. Because they were nothing short of a headache for us, huh? That's nicely putting it. They knew us, and no offense to them, they knew us as two different people. They knew me as the father that took them to Las Vegas and lived a hellish life. And then they knew me as the father who turned it around, and they were confused in their mind. And so I knew that. And so they were really having a struggling time trying to relate to the new us. And here it was that I had them in church. We had them in church. They were in the youth group. And they really didn't want to ever go, but we forced them to go. And it was like hog-tying them and getting them there. Well, every Memorial Day weekend, where we used to attend for some 17, 18 years, they had a time where they would send them to Bloomsburg State College on the other side, east of on 80, about 4 hours away. And they would go there, and they would take the youth group and join them with the youth group all over from Rhode Island, New York City, New York State, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Kentucky. They went to Maine, Massachusetts, New England, all the New England states. They came together. There was almost 500 children that would gather together in that weekend seminar time or youth time. Well, my children didn't want to go. And so it was a fight, to say the least. I had already paid the $100 per child, and so I was going to be determined, I don't care what you say, you're going to go to this youth camp. And so finally, we tie them up. She takes our daughter, and she helps her pack, and I help the other two boys pack, and they're fighting me all the way. Got their suitcases packed. I put them in a car. I drove them to New Brighton. I got them in the parking lot. There's a bus waiting. I got them on the bus. I stood there like a security guard, and I told the youth group leaders, don't let these kids get off the bus. You watch them all the way and keep an eye on them, because they didn't want to be here. So, of course, when I saw the bus leave, it was kind of a reprieve for me. But we had already set in our heart, because we were newbies. We were newbies in the kingdom of God, but we had heard about fasting and praising and putting God first in the midst of a circumstance. And so we began to fast and pray while they were away. We did exactly what I'm going to be teaching you. We prayed to the Lord, put us in a fast. And so we hardly ate anything, as best my memory serves me. and we drank a lot of liquid, and we just kept on praying and reading God's word, and we were believing and trusting in God, and that's what we did. We had a stick-to-it of attitude for those three solid days. Now comes Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. I have to go, and I have to pick up the children. I think this thing is there. I had to go pick up the children. And when I picked up the children, it was so amazing because on Friday morning, I dropped off three children. But on Sunday evening, I picked up three different children. And I thought, are they not mine? Because these children were on fire. These children were so on fire for the things of God. Here, while they were away, we come to find they wouldn't let us go to sleep for the first three or four days they were home. They all three, while they were in the midst of some 500 children, they got saved and they also got baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. My oldest son, who was the sheepish one, said, "Dad, when he saw his younger brother, my son Paul, getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, he thought to himself, did my father send us to a cult?" But then they all remarked, himself as well, when the electricity of the power of God touched them, surged through them, and he too, my oldest one, that I say, he's so backward, he went on the floor and he began to speak in other tongues. My daughter was about 200 and some children away from her brothers. Some other youth leader went up to her and said, "The Lord is not a respecter of people." Began to pray with her. She got saved and she too got baptized in the Holy Ghost. I want you to know that the prayer and fasting works. Prayer and fasting works. You have a situation that's urgent, whatever it needs. I want you to know if you will prioritize and you will put God first and stop praying about it only, but now you begin to pray, you begin to fast, you are going to see the excellent hand of Almighty God begin to move for you. Amen? So I want to bring you to Isaiah chapter 58, the first four verses. And this particular passage is the most comprehensive passage of information throughout the entire Bible in regards to fasting. You come to find that the prophet Isaiah is God's vocal cords on the earth. And God says to him, because what I'm about to show you, I'm going to show you what a true fast is and what a true fast is not. What a fast is not, I should say. And so we come to find that God says to Isaiah, he says to Isaiah, "I want you to have a loud, loud voice. Don't be hesitant. Don't be reserved. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy about it. But I want you to go and I want you to scream out at my people what I know about them." And so you come to find that here's what it says here. Isaiah begins to say, verse 1, it says here, "Cry aloud," God says. "Spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinances of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God." In other words, what's being said here, God is saying to Isaiah, go tell them I know the reality of their heart. I know they are unrighteous. I know that they are wicked. I know that they are putting on an outward show. They are putting on a demonstration to look as if they are holier than thou. They are letting everyone in the community know that they are fasting, so they have a humble, bowed down approach to look religious. But the truth of the matter is, I see the reality of their heart. They want justice, but they really don't want justice. They want to see my righteousness, but they really don't want my righteousness. Let them know that I see the truth of who they really are. And so it goes on and says in verse 3, they're responding to God and say, "Why have we fasted," they say, "and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted? Why did we bother? Why did we bother to go and go without food? Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice?" And God responds very quickly here. He says, "In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your laborers. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist of wickedness." He's saying this, while you are putting on your pretentious show of fasting, your heart is so far from me. You are fighting with each other. You are debating each other. You are exploiting your employees. You don't pay them for the hours that they have worked for you, because it's all about you. And I also notice that you have satisfied your flesh. Even though on the outside you look like you are fasting and waiting for me to give you a breakthrough, but behind closed doors I know you are feeding your flesh. And he goes on and he says this, verse 4, he says, you will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. You know why we fast? To make our voice heard up in heaven. Because Jesus is not physically with us any longer. He's not there physically with us any longer, as I told you. So in order for us to get his attention, we need to fast. And it has to be a true, honorable fast, that what you do inwardly has to also be the reality of your heart. Your heart has to be broken before the Lord, because your voice needs to get up into the heavens. And so if your heart is in right standing with the Lord, that your heart is broken, and you are fasting and praying and waiting on the Lord, then and only then is your voice going to be heard in the heavens, and God is going to come, and God is going to bring resolve in the issues of whatever it is that has put you in bondage. Amen? Look at verse 5. God says through Isaiah, is it a fast that I have chosen? Is this the kind of fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul or to humble his soul? Is this the kind of fast that I've chosen for you? The answer to that question is yes. You humble your soul. Then he asks another question. Is it to bow down your head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? And the answer to that is no. God is saying, when you fast before me, it's you and me. You don't put on a show to let other people think and know that you're fasting. The Bible says, Jesus himself said, wash your face and don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. Don't let others know what's going on. It's between you and God. You begin to fast and you begin to seek the Lord God, if you will. Amen? So in other words, fasting is a humbling experience. It is to humble your soul. And what God the Father will do when he sees that your heart is right, when he sees that your heart truly is broken, that you have a desirous need, that you know you can't solve the issue, you can't remove the mountain in any other way or shape or form, and when you are truly broken before him, and you begin to fast, and you begin to pray and ask the Lord to put you into a fast, that it'll be a fast as long as you are waiting on God to break through from the heavens. When that begins to happen, God is going to bless that saint who has come before him in right standing. And God, because of the fact that that saint has said no to the cravings of the flesh because they want to hear from the Spirit, God is going to open up your spiritual ears and open up your spiritual eyes, because he knows at that point that your flesh has been dissolved because you're not feeding the flesh. And it's at that point you are going to receive spiritual insight. God is going to show you what it is that he has for you and how he's going to break through and how he's going to destroy that bondage that has held you in captivity. Amen? And so we come to find, as eating is so important to the health and well-being of your flesh, so is not eating just as healthy as for the well-being of your spirit. You have to hear from the Spirit. That's why Jesus said what he said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. He said these words. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Father. In other words, you need to begin to hear, what is the Spirit saying? What is Jesus saying? So many Christians have never heard the voice of God, and they wonder why they're getting so beaten up, why they're getting so overwhelmed and trodden, if you will, because they never hear the voice of Jesus Christ. Yes, you know him. Yes, you've bowed to him. Yes, you are now a servant of him. Yes, you are a Christian. You are faithful to him, but you are under the prominence of the flesh. The flesh has dominance over you because you keep on feeding the flesh and feeding the flesh and feeding the flesh, and the Spirit is so weakened inside of you that you don't hear the Spirit of God. You don't hear the voice of God, if you will. And God wants you to bow your heart and to get rid of the cravings of the flesh, to have a time where you can hear His voice, but you can't do it on your own. So you pray to Him, prescription number one. You pray to Him to put you into a fast so that He will keep you in that fast. He will empower you in that fast so that you will begin to hear the voice of Almighty God. And let me tell you something. The Bible says, the Lord just gave this to me this morning and I had to go find it. The Lord says in His Word in 3 John, the third book of John, verse 2, He says, I pray that you may prosper in all things. I wish this thing would quit cracking. It's driving me crazy. That you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Listen, your soul prospers when you fast. Because the soul is under the guidance of either your spirit or your flesh. Whatever you are feeding is going to have dominance over the soul. If you are always feeding the flesh with always trying to satisfy the flesh, your flesh will have dominion over your soul. But at times, if you will just take the moment, use this beautiful heavenly weapon, and fast and pray, then your spirit will be elevated and your spirit will have dominion over the flesh. And now your soul will be prosperous. And here's the beauty of that statement. When your soul is prosperous, so your health will be prosperous as well. There are too many Christians that have a very ugly spirit. It's very low. It's very broken. It's very small, very puny. Because they never fast and pray and seek the counsel of hearing the voice of God. And what happens is, when a person has such a weak spirit, then they have to put a lot of money in of camouflaging with all the cosmetic attempt to cosmetically cover up and camouflage the outward man, because the inward man is sick. So you come to find that a person that has a sick soul because they have a sick spirit, they'll come to church, but they're the kind of people, you'll never see them say, oh, I praise the Lord, glory to God, I want to lay hands on the sick and let them recover. They're not going to do that because inside they're being driven by a sick soul, which is being driven by a sick spirit. On the other side of the coin, if you have somebody who understands the premise of fasting and praying, and they are filled with the Spirit, their spirit is having relevance over the flesh, then you'll never find those people that their spirit is healthy come in and say, get away from me. It doesn't correlate. It doesn't correlate, because how your soul is, there your flesh will be also, is what's being said here. Amen? And so that's really what we need to understand. It's time that we take the times and we learn when a situation comes, fast and pray. Pray and fast. Seek the Lord. Let Him put you into a beautiful fast that you can now begin to hear the voice of God. Look at Psalm chapter 69, verse 10. David says this. He said, when I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that became my reproach. I also made sackcloth my garment. I became a byword to them. In other words, David was being made fun of by people. And he goes on and he says, those who sit in the gate speak against me. And I am the song of the drunkards. People are mocking me. The drunkards feel that they're better than me. There's a lot of things that are going on. And he goes on and he says, But as for me, verse 13, but as for me, my prayers to you, O Lord, in the acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of your mercy, hear me in the truth of your salvation. Deliver me, verse 14, out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from those who hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the flood water overflow me, nor let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut its mouth on me. David is saying here, my world is closing in, O Lord. My world is closing in on me. Yes, I am the king of Judah, but my world is closing in on me. Anybody have their world closing in on them? A lot of people that have maybe even been in the church since we started, their world is closing in on them. And so what they do, they come to me. They give me a call. They want to talk. Pastor, I need help, and I don't have any problem with that. Because I'll go to the Lord on your behalf and I'll seek the counsel of God and I'll tell you what the Lord is saying, and I would pray that it would change things for you. But please understand something. My world is closing in on me as well. So I'm sometimes in a lot of strife and upset because I'm a human being. I am not the good shepherd. I am not your savior. I am just an ambassador of God is all I am. I'm a manager of God's kingdom. But you know what? If you keep coming to me with the same issue and the same problem, then I know you have a mountain. And no matter what you keep on coming to me for, it's not going to help you. So what you have to do, I would advise you, you have to go and fast and pray to the Lord that God will intervene and God will break through that stronghold because I can't do it for you. I can't do it for you. So what we have to do, as David said, my world is closing in. So Lord, I didn't care what they said about me. I didn't care how they mocked me. I didn't care about the songs they sang about me. I am going to fast and I'm going to pray that you will put me in a fast and you will show me your hand of counsel. You will set me free from it. And God did it for him. Amen. Joel chapter 2 verse 12. Beautiful, beautiful verse. Two verses here. It says here, now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart. Not like Isaiah chapter 58 verse 3, that they have an outward performance. They look like they're seeking my righteousness, my justice. They're seeking my ordinances. But I know their heart. No, God is saying here, you want to know about a true fast? Turn to me with all of your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. In other words, God is saying, it's serious. And you need to get serious with me. You have a problem that's not going away. You have a stronghold. You have a fortress that's paralyzing you. It's time to get serious. So you need to turn to me with all of your heart, with weeping, fasting, and with mourning. And here's what he says here. Joel tells us, the Lord speaking through him, verse 13. Rend your heart, not your garments. Have your heart be broken and true, not an outward appearance of putting on sackcloth and ashes. Break your heart. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Who knows, verse 14, if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him. In other words, what is being said here, when you pray and ask the Lord to put you into a fast, because maybe you have a circumstance that you can't get over. And you've been praying and fasting now for a person, or a sickness in your body, or financial problems, whatever it be. God's promise to you, if your heart is true before him, he is going to respond. He is going to give you the breakthrough. Not only is he going to give you the breakthrough, he's going to give you a leftover blessing you didn't even ask for. Maybe you've been praying along the way that God would save your spouse, and you are praying and fasting that God is going to, behind closed scenes without anybody knowing it, including your spouse, God is going to deliver your spouse. And here, as you've been praying and fasting and God comes through, then all of a sudden you are going to find that God not only will have delivered your spouse, but he will deliver you from financial disarray. Or maybe he's going to deliver your children. Or maybe he's going to deliver the sickness that is in your body or the body of a child. God will leave behind an extra blessing that's going to come your way. That's how he does it. You know why? Because he's a more than enough God. He will give you exceedingly abundantly, far above all that you could ever ask and or imagine. So put your trust and your confidence and start fighting the right way. Pray, ask him to put you into a fast, and seek him along the way as you are in that fast, and watch what God does. Amen? So verse 15 says, blow the trumpet in Zion, and consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly. So what I wanted you to see is, fasting is not only for the individual, fasting is for the church. The church has missed it along the way as well. If you look in the Old Testament, you look in the New Testament, the church, the assembly, they would fast together. The children of Israel, at times when they had enemy forces coming against them, or they were in a very havoc situation, they would come together and call for a fast, like you found that Jehoshaphat called for a fast upon the military force of Judah. We here in the church, we are coming to a crossroad of decision. I certainly don't want to put my hand to the wrong decision, make the wrong decision, just to say, okay, this is the direction we're going to go. We as a church need to learn that we need to fast and pray collectively, because God has put us in this church together. Because when you make the wrong decision, then what you do, you have to delay God's plan, like Abraham. God told him that he was going to be the father of many nations. Okay, he and his wife Sarah concocted a plan, and they had the child Ishmael, which messed up 25 years of their life, that God had to wait 25 more years to give them Isaac that he challenged that he was going to give them in the first place. If we make a wrong decision with the church, then we are going to have to wait until God cleans up our mistake and gives us the right decision. So why do that secondarily? Let's wait. Let's wait on the Lord. Let's fast and pray and seek him, that he will give one of you and or myself information of what he wants us to do as a church. How many of you are going to take that challenge and do that? But he also wants you to pray and fast for yourself, intimately, individually. This thing I'm going to throw it away. I'm going to tell you right now. I don't like the interruption. I don't know, but I'm going to throw it away. And so with all said, on an individual note, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? How bad do you want to be set free from perversion? How bad do you want to be set free from alcoholism? How bad do you want to be set free from nicotine addiction? How bad do you want to be set free from alcoholism? Maybe not only just you, but how about people in your family that is bringing interruption into your home? How bad do you want to be set free from it? As bad as you want to be set free and you want to start seeing peace in your home, it's only going to come, because this will only come by prayer and by fasting. Write that down. Amen? And here's some of the prescription of what the Lord has given me. Here it is. There are four points to the prescription. The first one I've already given you, that you begin to pray that God put you into a fast. That's number one. And God will keep you in that fast, and he will encourage you, he will empower you, he will do whatever's necessary. I'm going to take this off. Is this really interrupting for whatever reason? Oh, it's really... I'm going to take a microphone. How about this? I don't know. I have a blue one. A blue moon of Kentucky. Yeah, it's off. Give me a microphone. I just start singing. Now I can't move, probably. Yes, I can. Anyhow, what was I saying? I lost my train of thought. What was I talking about? Point one. Pray, and he will empower you to be put into a fast. And he'll keep you in that fast until he breaks through. The second thing you have to understand, while you are fasting, you read the Word of God. That's point number two, but here it is. You pray that God puts you in a fast, but while you're in the fast, you keep praying that God show you what it is he wants you to read. Because a lot of saints say, well, I'm just going to read the Word of God while I'm fasting. No, because you might start out in the book of Matthew, chapter 7 somewhere, chapter 5, you want to read about the Beatitudes. And as you are praying and you are asking God to give you direction, then God is going to say, hey, wait a minute. I want you to go over to the book of Acts. I want you to look at chapter 7 and start over there around verse 6. And as you are praying what he tells you to pray, then all of a sudden those words are going to go into large font, and they're going to jump off the page at you, because God is speaking to you through his word. And while you are fasting and praying for God to give you the right scriptures to read, God wants you to praise him. And as you are praising him, he continues to come and inhabit you. He continues to come right next to you, and he will begin to grow you. And by so doing all this, along the way, you're saying no to the cravings of the flesh. The flesh is starting to die. Your spirit is starting to elevate, and your spirit is starting to come to a place where you are so super sensitive in the spirit, you are hearing the voice of God with such clarity, you don't want to give up the fast. You're not going to give up the fast, because God is speaking to you with such authority, you've never heard his voice like this before, and you don't want to separate from that kind of a relationship. When my ministry was about to kick off in the gear before I started, I fasted and I prayed, but I did everything that I'm telling you. I said to the Lord, Lord, I need to fast, but I know in my own strength I can't fast. But I need to know, what do you want me to do? Because I was scared to death, to be honest with you, to go travel. I didn't think I had the capacity to speak for 3 to 5 services in a week and be out in some other land, some other state. I was scared to death. And I thought, how am I going to do that, Lord? Why are you calling? Take somebody that's out of a school of theology. Don't use a dummy like me. But God was calling me to do that. So I fasted and I prayed that he would put me into a fast. He did, and I was in a fast for 10 days. 10 days. And most of the food that I ate was drink, soup, broth. I fell in love with broth. And juices. And after about the second day, I had no more desire, no more hunger, no more yearning, no more craving for food. And I did everything that I'm sharing with you. I did it all. And as I'm doing it all, I'm starting to hear the Lord speak. He's starting to give me details and details of information of what he's going to do in my ministry long before I ever packed a suitcase. Because I was able to hear the voice of the Spirit, because the flesh had become decreased. My soul was being taken over by my spirit, and now my soul was strong. My outward man was strong and healthy, and now I sort of stood with an affirmation that I could stand on the declaration of what God was saying to me. And God did everything he said he would do. I got to be honest with you, after 10 days, I said, Lord, I'm scared. Am I going to die? I never fasted from food that long in all my life. But the truth of the matter is, God saw at the end of 10 days, he gave me the full understanding of the breakthrough of what I was going to do and how my ministry was going to take off. Amen? God wants you. God wants you to give it all over to him. And so with all said, I challenge you. I want to say one more verse to you. Psalm 42, verse 11. And it says, David is saying, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you so disquieted within me? Hope in God. David said this because he was about to give up. David was about to throw in the towel. And I know that I've been there. How many of you, you're about to throw in the towel? I can't take this anymore. I've been praying for change in my household, with my marriage, with my spouse, with my children. I've been praying for breakthrough in my family, with my finances, with my job. I've been praying and praying. But you know what? The Word of God tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, David says this, or Paul the Apostle said this. He said, when you have done everything necessary to do, then stand firm. If you haven't fasted, you haven't done it all yet. If you haven't fasted, you haven't done all that there is to do. So I'm going to challenge you on that piece of paper. Here it is. I've given you 3 of the points or the prescriptions. You fast, but only because you pray that God puts you in a fast, number one. Secondly, you pray while you are in the fast that God show you the scriptures that you are to read. And thirdly, you absolutely praise, worship, and honor him that he will have full preeminence in your life and begin to speak to you. Amen? Now that's the prescription you put on top of the page. You draw a line underneath that. And then here's the challenge. You write down with specificity. You write down specifically what you want to lay before God. You write down, first of all, you put the date that you're about to start your fast. You put the date, you put the circumstance or the name. In other words, if you have a problem in your health, the health of your body, you don't just say, Lord, I need healing. No, you specify, where is the problem? Is it in my kidneys? Is it in my back? Is it in my whatever, my heart condition, my blood disorder? You specify it. You specify it. If it's a person you're going to pray, you're going to fast and pray for, you give the specifics of the name of that person and who that person is to you. Is it a child? That's my son. That's my daughter. That's my wife. That's my husband. You give specifics of who it is and what it is you're expecting from God. So you lay it out. And there's a reason for you to do this. Because then you turn the page over while you are fasting and praying and waiting on the Lord for deliverance. Then you are going to find, as God has put you into the fast, you are going to put another date, and you are going to start to see the resolve. You are going to put the date of when God came through and broke through from the heavens to the earth, and God gave you a breakthrough. God gave you a deliverance. No longer is that person unsaved that you prayed for. That person has been healed. No longer is there addiction. That addiction has been destroyed. Whatever it is, you are going to see that there is going to be a breakthrough. Amen. You hold on to that paper forevermore, because the Word of God tells us in the book of Jeremiah, go back to the old paths. In other words, you take that paper, that is going to be your testimony. And every time that you have another circumstance and another circumstance and another circumstance that comes along, you go back to that paper and you remember what you had to do, that God had given you the prescription in which to get it accomplished. And you are going to see, as God had given you a breakthrough in the past, God is going to give you a breakthrough in the present, whatever you're going through at that time. Amen. And I've held back, and I wanted to give you the fourth and final prescription. This is going to go on the top of the page. And this is such an eye-opener. I got to be honest with you, when the Lord showed this to me, I have never put all this together and seen it the way that He wanted me to see it and the way that He wanted you to see it. So here's the fourth prescription. It's about to come up. Turn again to Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6. And there it says, is this not the fast that I have chosen? Is this not the fast that I have chosen? Now watch this. To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke, and that you break every yoke, that you break the chains on the wicked, that you break the chains on the oppressed, that you break the chains on those who are in bondage, who are in addiction. You are going to break the chains. Not God only. God is going to do it working together with you, because you have brought Him in on the circumstance and you are getting out of the way, no longer feeding the flesh. Your soul is being under the indoctrination of the Spirit, and now you hear what the Spirit is saying, and God will begin to work through you and with you. You are going to do it all. You are going to break it. A lot of people have gone to rehab centers. A lot of people have gone to medical clinics. They have tried to get set free. They can't get set free. But I want you to know that when a person finally surrenders and does what the Lord says in regards to praying and fasting and the prescriptions of what He has, then you are going to see there is going to be a breakthrough, and God is going to use you, that you are going to be the one, as it says here, that you are going to break every yoke. Look at the next verse. Here it is. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. You can't divide bread and give bread to those who are hungry if you don't have more bread to spare. You can't provide shelter to those who are out in the elements if you don't have a house to share with them. You can't give clothes to the naked if you don't have extra clothing. God has blessed you beyond imagination. But here's what the Lord wants you to hear. This is the fourth prescription. Isaiah 58, you come to find that God says, while you were fasting for me, it was all done with the wrong heart, because I saw the reality of your heart. It was all about inward vision. You were looking at you. You were looking to say, Lord, I want your righteousness, I want your holiness, I want your judgment, your justice, I want your ordinance, and you didn't want me at all. Because you were fighting, you were striving, you were rebuking one another, and you were judging one another, and you were taking advantage of your employees, and you were even feeding yourself food behind closed doors. I saw what you were doing. But here's what God says. You want to have a breakthrough? Once you take and you know what your problem is, and you have done everything as far as all the prescription, God put me in a fast, God tell me what to read, God I praise you and I worship you through all this, God says, once you give it over to me, don't you dare pick it up again. You leave it alone. Don't you even look at it. Don't you even think about it. Because you're doing what I want you to do. Now, I want you to take the overflow of the blessings you've already received, and I want you to go, and I want you to take care of somebody else. And while you are taking care of somebody else, while you are feeding somebody else, while you are clothing somebody else, while you are giving shelter to somebody else, look what he says in the next verse. He says in verse 8, then your light shall break forth like the morning. Then your problem is going to go away. Then I'm going to bring healing to you. When you get your eyes off of you and you begin to become my hands, my heart, my pulse, my love, my compassion, and you bring it to a dying nation, forget about your problem, get your eyes off your problem, have confidence in me, you've given it over to me, now you take what I tell you to do, go where I tell you to go, take care of others, and your light is going to break forth like the morning. In other words, the butterfly is going to come out of the cocoon. I'm going to take care of you. And the moment you begin to work and take care of other people, then verse 8 says this, and your healing shall spring forth speedily. What you've been looking for will come to you. Will come to you. And he says also, your righteousness, verse 8, shall go before you. Because as you strengthen your soul, your righteousness will shine like the noonday sun, and it will go before you. Others will see my light in you. Amen. Verse 8 also says, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. In other words, God is saying, I'm going to protect you. I got your back. I got your back in the workplace. I got your back in the home. I got your back in society. I got your back wherever you go. I have your back. You don't have to worry about a thing. Verse 9 says, then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You might say, well, I've been calling for a long time. I've been praying, and the disturbance hasn't gone away because you haven't done it right. You've only been praying, but this only comes by prayer and fasting. When you put it all in perspective and do what Jesus Christ said to do, you are going to see that your light is going to begin to shine. Amen? And finally, he says, you shall cry, and he will say, here I am. You will say, Lord, I need help, and the Lord will say, I trust you. I trust you because you have spent the time in the past to allow for me to have the ownership of you and to have authority over you that I could speak into your life. So he'll say, here I am. I'm at your service. What do you need? Amen? And that is the truth about prayer and fasting, of what the Lord has given me for all of us today. We hold on to that prescription. You write it down on a piece of paper. You write it down specifically what you're asking of God. You allow the Lord to put you into a fast. You read his word according to where he wants you to read it. You praise and worship him. And as you continue, you get your eyes off your problem and start looking at other people. And go where God tells you to go. And you will see that your light will shine as like the morning. And your health, the healing that you've been looking for, will come ever so quickly. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Amen. Father, we praise you and we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the morning. Father, we thank you for the healings that are about to break loose. We thank you for the bondage that is about to break loose. Many a person, Father, I know, that still has bondages, addictions, Lord God, and they've been praying and praying and praying and nothing seems to resolve. Lord God, let it be that they understand the final reality of this heavenly gift that Satan is so absolutely afraid of that he even went as far as stealing it out of the Word of God because he didn't want the saints of God to know about it. And that is on the subject of fasting. So, Father, let us take a hold of it, apply it, and receive the benefit of it. In your precious name we pray. Amen.